Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, starting with the 5th verse. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you live, as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, he said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me the catechetical review found in your bulletin on the Apostles' Creed. "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead." What does this mean? "That I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true." The second reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, starting with the first verse. "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after this suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up with a cloud and took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heavens as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to ask the children to come join me over here by the windows over on this side of the church. We're going to come over. We're going to do something a little different here, guys. Look out at that beautiful sky today. Isn't that awesome? So, look at those clouds up there. So we heard a reading this morning. We heard something in the gospel, and we heard the Acts reading, which was telling how Jesus ascended up into heaven, and he ascended up into the clouds. So what does that word ascend mean? What does that mean then? Yeah, just go up, exactly. So like, what happens if we were to walk outside with some helium balloons and let them go? What would happen? Yeah, they'd go up, and we could stand out there and we could watch them go, up and up and up, until sometimes you'll see them pop, sometimes you'll see them go even higher, right? Well, Jesus, so the disciples were out there outside of Bethany, and as he was talking to them and he was giving them these words, he was lifted up, and he went behind the clouds, and they didn't see him anymore. So you know what they stood there doing?
Watching.
Yeah, they were like doing this. They were like waiting for him. And then in Acts it tells us that there was two angels that were standing there and said, hey guys, okay, just the way that you saw him ascend into those clouds, he's going to return again someday. We know that he's coming back, and he's promised us that he's going to come back. We can't see Jesus, right? Because he ascended into heaven, and now Scripture tells us, and in our catechism it says that he sits at the right hand of the Father. That just means that he's with with the Father in heaven. So if we can't see him, how do you and I know that he's real and that he's with us? He's in the Bible, so we know God's word is truth, right? Is there, what else gives you an indication of that too? Where else do you know that? How about in your baptisms? Okay. You were promised in your baptisms that he would never leave you nor forsake you, and we know that he's going to return again for us someday. So just like the disciples, when they were standing out there and they saw Jesus, okay, this isn't working very well right now, but anyway, here's my little model. There, he disappeared behind the clouds, but we know that's not the end of it, because just as he went up into heaven, he's going to return again. Right. Yeah, you can still see his foot poking out. But we can't see his foot poking out up there in the clouds right now either, can we? Well, shall we pray? Let's give thanks to God that he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, die on the cross for our sins. And not only that, he rose again from the dead. And he completed that work for us by ascending back into heaven. And we know that someday he's going to come back for us too. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Lord, we give you thanks. For saving us, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our baptisms. We'd ask that you would keep us ever in your care until the day that you return. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, today marks a very special day for the lives of four young ladies here in our congregation. Today they're being confirmed. For Elizabeth, Grace, and Isabella, this means that they can now articulate the faith that they were gifted in their baptisms. This also means that after 3 years of rigorous study and training in God's Word in the small catechism, they will receive their first communion today. Now, Wednesday was just the warm-up, ladies, when you came up for the questioning and everything. So in just a couple minutes, I'm going to bring you up here one by one, and then I'm going to have my turn with you here for the rest of the questioning today. Of course, I'm just kidding. So how fitting it is, dear saints, that today also we are celebrating the ascension of our Lord. In today's gospel, Jesus was speaking here to his disciples as he was getting ready to ascend up into the clouds. And I'd like to begin there. Jesus said these words here in Luke's gospel, which is my text for today's sermon. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Dear ladies, dear confirmands, and all of us assembled here today, the Holy Spirit has opened our minds to understand the scriptures. And it is these words of Holy Scripture that we have been taught. The small catechism is a wonderful tool that conveniently unpacks for us the Holy Scriptures so that you and I can know that we can all see the benefits and gifts that we receive delivered to us by Christ, who won salvation for us on the cross, delivered that to us there in the waters of your baptism. This is Christ, who suffered and died for you and rose again from the grave for you. As a result of this, Christ says that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Dear confirmands, you having been justified in Christ with abundant joy, you get to share his great love with all the world, with your neighbors, your family, all nations, as Jesus said. Jesus goes on to say this, And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This same Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, that was promised to the disciples is the same Holy Spirit that you, the four of you, received in your baptisms. The same Holy Spirit that has been guiding you and directing you thus far. The same Holy Spirit that continues to draw you here to hear God's word and all the promises that he has for you. The same Holy Spirit that promised in your baptism that he would never leave you nor forsake you. This is what you have been taught in your catechism. In a sense, I suppose we could say that confirmation for these ladies, and for all of us for that matter, is a benchmark in our walk of faith. Another beginning. To be certain, you received all of these benefits when you were baptized. Forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit, eternal life, and you were rescued from death and the devil. But now real challenges are facing you as you all continue in your walk of faith, living in your baptismal life. For you are going to be continued to be pulled in all sorts of directions, to be enticed by the world, to be tempted by your own self, the very skin that you live in, and certainly to be tempted by the devil, who would like nothing more than to get you to think and believe differently from what God's word says and promises to you. He's been at it, after all, since our first parents there in the Garden of Eden, where he said, "Did God really say?" Dear saints, dear confirmands, don't be surprised as if that's something unusual happening to you. There's no Christian that is immune to temptation. Paul reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says this, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And when we fall, and when we sin, we are forgiven. Grace abounds where sin is all the more." You know, we live in a very post-Christian, pagan culture. We shouldn't be surprised by that. I'm sure that, ladies, you've all been subjected to things you've even heard in your classrooms in school that don't line up quite with what you've heard and been taught from God's word. Before we all know it, you'll all be finished with high school and on your way to college and to other endeavors. And the world and all its enticements will continue to try and pull you away from this faith, what you have been taught. Nowhere in Scripture are you and I promised that being a Christian is easy. In fact, Christ tells us this, "Take up your cross and follow me." Ladies, you pick some great Bible passages for your confirmation verses. Liz and Grace, you both picked Joshua 1:9, and it says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." These words were spoken to Joshua by God as Joshua was about to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River and into the promised land after the death of Moses. He's got some big shoes to fill there. But God here is reminding Joshua of the first commandment. "Fear, love, and trust in me," he's telling Joshua there, "above all things." Isabella, you chose Psalm 62, verses 6 and 7, and it says this, "He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God." In the explanation of the second article, we see this, "Jesus has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. This is most certainly true. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our redeemer." Erica, your verse is Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6, which says this, I thank my God in remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, for you are all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Well, sanctification. In the third article of the Creed, it tells us this. In the same way, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. This is most certainly true. To be certain, God will complete his work in all of you. This is what he promised here in his word. This word of God will continue to work in you according to his will. Elizabeth, Grace, Bella, and Erica, I would challenge you to remember some things. First, don't ever forget how much God loves you. Where sin is, and where you struggle against it, grace abounds more and more. Remember your baptism. Okay. You belong to Christ. You are forgiven. Secondly, do not neglect God's word and sacrament. Now that you get to receive this gift of Holy Communion here, take it as often as you can. For it is in his word and in this meal that God will continue to strengthen you in your faith. This is Jesus that you can see here for you. You are the church. You are the future of the church. God will work in your lives and continue to transform you to live in this freedom of your Christian walk. 2 Timothy says this in chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So thirdly, which kind of ties into my first point, stay in the word, in God's word. Do not harden your hearts. Stay in fellowship. Gladly hear God's word. Come to worship. You're not good now that you've been confirmed. Being a Christian is not an individual thing. You are the body of Christ, and the body needs you. It needs your various gifts that each one of you have. So don't disappear on us. Be strengthened in your faith by this fellowship with other believers. The disciples, when they saw Jesus ascending into heaven, thus completing his mission here on earth, they did this. They worshiped him with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. And you know, from what you have been taught, that someday this Jesus will return in the same way that the disciples saw him ascend. And should you and I die before that day, we know that we will go to be with him. That's what you've been taught. That's what he promises in his word to you. And on that great and glorious day, when he does return, he will call us out of our graves to live and reign with him forever and ever. No more sin. No more sorrow. Only eternal life in our risen Savior, Christ our Lord. Dear ladies, God bless you and keep you. Not only this day, but all the days of your lives. Sorry. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.